You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet. And story is everything. I'm Bobby Jean Bell, and here sitting beside me is
Jim Bell.
And we're so delighted that you're joining us this evening for another episode of Chatting with a Very Special Featured Guest. And our guest tonight is cowboy poet, Oregon cowboy poet, Tom Swearingen. And here's Tom joining us right now. Hi, Tom.
Good evening. Let's share a little something about our guest.
Hello, Jim and Bobby Jean.
Okay. Great to have you with us, Tom.
It's great to be here. I appreciate the invitation. Looking forward to it.
Let's share a little something about our guest, Tom.
Okay.
Through his original cowboy poetry, Tom tells stories of the people and the land of the American West. He was named the 2019 Western Music Association Male Poet of the Year. Tom's book, Reflection, was named the 2020 Western Music Association Cowboy Poetry Book of the Year. Tom and his wife, children's book author Carla Swearingen, can often be found riding on horses in Oregon's backcountry.
Yeah, and we were talking just a moment ago, this is a wonderful painting right behind him of a horse. Do you want to tell us again a little bit, Tom, about the horse all our viewers can see? Yes.
Yeah, that's a horse named Tasha, and that painting, that horse was owned by our son-in-law's mother. She was a fine equestrian and also a wonderful artist. She painted that painting. She passed away a few years ago, and the horse went on to our son-in-law, as well as a lot of her paintings. And we're honored to be able to display Tasha on one of the walls in our home.
That's so great.
Very good.
Tom, I'm actually looking at a comment on Facebook. Luann Windenman, I may not have said her name, the name incorrectly. She is happy to see you.
Well, I'm happy to see her. That's our, I actually know who that is. I know who that is. And I'm reading her husband's book. Husband's book. Yeah, anyway, no, they're I know who they are. Yeah, it's nice that she's tuned in.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in. So, Tom, tell us a little bit about how you and poetry kind of met. And I'd also love you to give us a little bit about why cowboy poetry? What is that?
Yeah, well, cowboy poetry, simplest definition is it's occupational poetry. It's poetry that historically goes back to post-Civil War, the cattle drive era, when, historians would tell us that cowboys entertain themselves with stories and songs, and based on a number of influences that they would have had, followed some of the music that was popular at the time and poetry that would have been popular at the time, and most of that was rhymed and rhythmic in nature. And that poetry started to get shared from cowboy to cowboy and ranch to ranch, and continues to this day. I've got books that were published 1905, 1917, some of the classic cowboy poetry. And cowboy, because it was written by cowboys and or about cowboys, what cowboys do, the work of cowboying, horses, cattle, maybe the land or the weather, friends met and lost and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I, like a lot of people, well, I have a family history in ranching and farming. We didn't own our own horses until later. But when I grew up, my grandparents had beef on one side and one had horses on the other. Yeah. And so Western music and Western lore and history was always just part of my DNA, I guess. Mm-hmm. But the real direct link to my discovery of poetry, cowboy poetry, was like probably a lot of people in America without direct connection to ranching or cowboying was, and you'll know what I'm talking about, watching Johnny Carson Tonight Show in the mid-80s.
Yes.
And he had, right? You know what I'm talking about.
I remember, actually.
Yeah. You can Google it now, and people should. Yeah. The night that Waddy Mitchell and Baxter Black were on and introduced cowboy poetry to America. And then Johnny Carson for a few years had cowboy poets, had Baxter on several times, Waddy Mitchell several times, Rodney, other people were on, Colton Sweetin and various others that were on. And I fell in love with the storytelling nature and the entertainment value and that roots to cowboy poetry. So I was a fan, would buy a ticket to go see Waddy Mitchell anytime he was within a state of me and others. Mm-hmm. But it was only much later that I wrote my own. And that's a different story.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we're going to continue to talk about that, I think. So besides writing, you also perform poetry. And how did the opportunity to perform come up?
Very surprisingly. Yeah. I had written a few poems. The first poem I wrote was a tribute to a friend that passed. And I thought that I would share a few lines of poetry at his memorial ride out of his ranch. And I did. And wrote it in the style that I love, cowboy poetry. And people, friends and family that were there said, well, I didn't know you were a poet. And I said, well, I'm not. They go, well, yeah, you are, because you just, you know, you should write more. So I wrote a few more poems. I had a funny incident on a horse, but I got bucked off or did get bucked off, wrote a poem about it, wrote a poem about family history, wrote a handful of poems. I had maybe 8 poems that I'd written, just sharing with friends and family. We'd be out on a horse ride, or we'd be in a horse camp, or we'd be somewhere, share a poem. And then I got a phone call from a woman with the St. Paul Rodeo, which is a big PRCA rodeo in Oregon. And she said, we're going to try something different. We want to have an entertainment stage before the evening rodeo that is going to run from 5 to 7 before the 7:30 rodeo. And I want to have a cowboy poet. And how much do you charge? and are you available on July 3rd? I went, charge? You mean you could get paid?
Get paid?
And anyway, long story short, I said, you know, don't you want to hear me first? And she tells the story. Well, how did you find out about me? And it was just our farrier, the guy that shoes our horses, had been in a saddle shop. She overheard her talking about wanting to cowboy poetry and a poet, and that's where how I got introduced this fairly random providential lining of planets that had me invited to entertain at the St. Paul Rodeo. And I did. And that led to like 8 or 9 years straight. And then I got home from that and somebody called and said, well, somebody from our historical society was at the rodeo and thought you'd be a good speaker at our monthly lecture on whatever. And then somebody else saw me and somebody else saw me. And I just, without planning to be a performing poet, found myself being invited to share my poems. And that's what I do.
I think you're going to treat us tonight to some live recitation. And I think we talked about St. Paul Rodeo, that particular poem. Would you like to recite that one for us?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. It's an unusual poem for me in that I don't I write about things that just inspire me. The St. Paul Rodeo inspires me, and that it was so important, but in terms of my performing. So I wrote it. It kind of comes off a little bit like a commercial, but that's not really, wasn't really my intention. But I wrote this as a tribute to St. Paul Rodeo. I've been to some great rodeos, big and small, throughout the West, and I've heard of lots of others that some might think the best. But the one I like to brag on that I'll argue tops them all is way out west in Oregon in a town they call St. Paul. In the heart of fertile farmland where there's just one traffic light, a few hundred welcome thousands for a rodeo done right. There you'll find a round arena pretty much like way back when the show started in the 30s from the dreams of just eight men. Generations have made memories around Independence Day celebrating Western spirit and birth of the USA. There are bucking bulls and broncos dodging trees out in the dirt. Cowgirls fly clover leaf in cans, champion rough stock bringing hurt. Doggers and tires racing time, team ropers chasing steers. The barrelman's joking, bringing grins, and of course there's ice cold beers. There are rides and games and vendors. Once a year, food concessions. And when it's through, the parish priest will hear tack room confessions. But the heart of what goes on there is a town that has desire to honor Western lifestyle and keep lit tradition's fire. So join me, won't you, raise a toast to the town behind the show. Tradition stays alive today at the St. Paul Rodeo.
Great.
Thank you, Tom. St. Paul Rodeo. And that's on one of your albums. That's on Language of the Land. I'm just going to hold up that particular CD. And then it's also, yeah, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said that is me. That was me right on that CD.
Right on the CD. And it's also featured in the book that we're going to be making reference to throughout the evening. And you'll see a lot of post-it notes on here. This is his 2020 award-winning book, Reflection, Cowboy Poetry. Jim, what are all those pink post-it notes?
Well, we've flagged a lot of these poems in here to talk about and kind of some of the special and maybe one or two some special questions on.
Yeah.
So that's what the flag is
about.
That's
what the flag's all about. Before we go to our first break, Tom, I would love you to do that really humorous, fun, one of my favorites. I've played it often on the Out West Hour. Would you give us a cowgirl from Nantucket?
Yeah, I will. Before I do, let me tell you how that came about. So when early on, before St. Paul Rodeo, before any of that, and I had only written a handful of poems and shared with friends, and I'd written a poem about our family, Grandpa's farm getting sold and some family history. And when I was with a bunch of cousins, and they didn't know I was writing poetry of any kind, and they didn't know I was writing cowboy poetry. And I wanted to share that family history poem. And I said, hey, I've been writing, I wrote a poem that I'd like to share. And one of my cousins, who's a farm boy from Idaho, he says, oh, I love poetry, especially the classics. Can you do the one that starts, there once was a girl from Nantucket? Talking about that old blue limerick, right? Exactly. And we laughed about that. Yeah, and I thought, oh, I once was a girl from Nantucket. And I thought, well, I'm gonna write a poem about the cowgirl from Nantucket, just as a joke, so that when I saw him again later, I'd have a little poem. But it turned into something, even though it's got that silly little intro.
Yeah.
It turned in to my sort of nod to historic women writers. Because back in the 1910, 1920, up in through most of the 20s, women were riding broncs and bulls sometimes and wrestling steers at the Pendleton Roundup and other big rodeos. And they were there as trick and exhibition riders, but it was not uncommon for them to enter the competitions and win and mm-hmm. Bonnie McCarroll and some of those yeah. great women. So even though I don't mention them specifically, I was thinking about them when I wrote, "There once was a cowgirl yeah. from Nantucket mm-hmm. who climbed on a bull and said, 'Bucket.' She was dead set on eight when they swung open the gate, but that bull had a different agenda that was aimed at getting her upended. So it didn't take long for her plan to unwind. Barely $2 in, she's $3 behind. That big bull was laying the hurt, slinging the snot and kicking up dirt, but say what you will, no cowgirl or guy has ever shown more guts or try." Which just made that bull perturbed. Actually, more like disturbed. He dipped to the left, spun to the right all the time, yeah. bucking, bringing the fight, then a duck and a dive and a big belly roll. That big bucker was out of control. Well, the cowboy's watching, all braced for the rack. "Galen, jump off, girl, or you're dead as heck." Well, she just looked up, flashed him a grin. She says, "Don't worry, boys, I'm just breaking him in." And with that, she buries her spurs in high, centers up and hangs on for more ride. Which made that bull be in nothing but rank, ramp up trying to buck off its flank, sucked left with a sweep and fade. And those cowboys thought sure that girl was made. But she cowboyed up, got back in position, continued to rise till set on her mission, determined to do all it'd take to gut the right out and make the full lane. Well, that cowgirl was taking a licking. But you know, all the time she's riding, that clock's a ticking. And with the seconds about, 6.4, they saw something not seen before. She's fanning her hat and chopping spur, and that big bull settled, started to purr. With a hoot and a holler, she looked around, swung her leg over, and jumped to the ground. Not a half tick later, the whistle blew 8, and that uncovered bull returned to the gate. "Well, boy," she said, "that there was fun. That was a bucking son of a gun. But why'd you jump off? They wanted to know. You had him beat, girl. You'd put on a show." "Ah, you're right, boy," she said. "I could have finished the ride. But I got to thinking, I might bruise your pride. What with rough stock being a manly sport. Not at all suited to us weaker sort." Yeah.
Thank you. We're going to be back with more with our special guest, Tom Swearingen, right after this word from our good friend, Richard Polinelli and Tuscany Bay Books. Don't touch that dial.
Hey, everybody. Richard Polinelli with Tuscany Bay Books. And if you're a reader looking for the next best adventure for your summertime reading or, you know, coming up on the winter, come to TuscanyBayBooks.com and check out our amazing bookshelf filled with books by some of the best authors out there in science fiction, fantasy, mystery thrillers, westerns, you name it. We've got something for you to read. And if you're an author who has just finished your manuscript and you're looking for a publisher, come to TuscanyBayBooks.com. Fill out our submission form. We'll take a look at it and we'll see if we can get you published and get you doing what you should be doing, which is writing your very next book. TuscanyBayBooks.com. That's your place to go if you're a reader or a writer. And now back to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. Special guest tonight, poet Tom Swearingen. We're having a great conversation with him about poetry in the West.
And we're going to shift gears just a little bit because he has this wonderful book, award-winning book, Reflection. I'm going to hold it up again with all of our post-it notes of all of our Jim went through and marked a lot of favorite poems in here. So this is Reflection, and it won a major award in 2020. The International Western Music Association awarded it Cowboy Poetry Book of the Year. And Tom, we'd love to have you tell us a little bit about how this book came to be and what we might expect a reader to enjoy about it.
Yeah, thank you. I think going back even to that first public performance that I did at the rodeo and then others, and I, you know, done lots of performances, I would have people come up to me, even... Well, I did that first public performance in 2013, and I had people come up and they wanted to know if I had a CD, And I didn't. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I better get something recorded. And I did. And I recorded my first CD in 2013. And then, but people were also coming up and they'd have a $20 bill in their hand and they'd say, that was the first one in 2013. Mm-hmm. But then they'd also have a $20 bill in their hand and they'd say, well, do you have a book? And I'm like, no, I don't have a book. And they'd put that 20 back in their pocket and go, darn it, I would have bought a book. And so I had in mind, you know, and I'd go, well, it's meant to be heard. I mean, it's an oral tradition. Why would you want to read it on paper when you could hear it? That was my thought. But I get it. It, you know, there's a place for both. And I thought, well, I need to get a book done. And so probably 7 years ago, I started working on it, editing poems to get them to where they were just perfect for the paper or on page. And, but then I'd get distracted. I mean, something else had come up and it just had never made any real progress. But yet people would come up and ask if I had a book and put that $20 bill back in their pocket. Like, I need to do a book. So then, you know, there's not a lot that's good about the pandemic and COVID, but one positive thing that did happen is that it gave me time that I mm-hmm. would not have otherwise had. And so the end of 2019, I was cruising. I had done 50 or 60 shows. I'd done Elko invited me to be a future mm-hmm. performer at Elko. And then, I had a bunch of stuff booked into 2020 and just having a ball. And then of course the world shut down. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks at a time first, and then 2 months, mm-hmm. and then stuff, all those gigs, all of those festivals, all the performances, the rodeo didn't even happen. Everything shut down. And I said, if I'm ever going to have time, now is the time. I mean, I got nothing else to do. And so I worked on it 8 hours a day for a week. I mean, I said, I'm going to get a book done. And mm-hmm. I did. I just edited like crazy and figured out which of my poems I thought would make a nice collection. And got it published by the summer of 2020. And now those people walk up to me with a $20 bill. I get to say, yeah, I do have a book.
You have a book.
And it's turned out really well.
Yeah,
I do want to mention right one here. Thing. I do want to mention. Yeah. I do want to mention one thing real quick. And you'll appreciate this. It mm-hmm. was named, as you said, 2020 yeah. Cowboy Poetry Book of the Year, tied with a wonderful book of cowboy poetry by Doc Mell. And I know Doc Mell is going to be your guest in December, and I'm going to get to be part of that, that interview. So it's cowboy poetry book of the year. But you're going to hear, we'll do docs later. But right now we're talking about me.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
So anyway, that's true. That's the book. St. Paul Rodeo, I was going to say, even the St. Paul Rodeo figured into that because the illustrator mm-hmm. is somebody that did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Elizabeth Zimmerman, I met at the rodeo. We were entertaining at what was called the Wild West Art Show, which was a juried art show. Mm-hmm. The first year I performed there, I think it was the first, maybe the second year, she won the Best of Show Fine Art Award for her watercolors. And we became friends. Her specialty was horses. And so when it came time to do the book, I hired her to do the drawings inside. There's 36 or more mm-hmm. Drawings inside. And then do that wonderful cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the illustrations are so fun. I'm just looking, was looking quickly. Like, this is one from the poem Thurman the Beer Mule's Dad Takes a Spill. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one. I'm just going to give an example of if we can get it.
Yeah,
that's
Thurman right there.
Yeah, that's Thurman right there. Yeah. And it does make for a very enjoyable, another wonderful just punctuation for the poem. Very fun. Mm-hmm. Very, very fun. When you were writing this, putting this together, did you write any poems that are in the book only, or is everything on your albums also in the book?
It's a great question. There are some poems in there that are not recorded that I wrote after the, there are some newer poems in there. Because the last album I did was in 2019. And so in 2020, after I did that, there's a couple, three. I don't remember which ones, but there are a handful of them that are new, newer.
Would you recite the title poem, Reflection?
Yes, it's very short. I think I know it. I hope I do.
It's on page 15.
Well, let me tell you, I'll tell your listeners the other thing about this. I was at this particular point, and I still like doing this. I like alliteration. So Pony Palomino pauses. I thought the three P's. That's what struck me. I saw this picture and I just thought, a Pony Palomino pauses briefly from its drink, content to rest a moment while the rider stops to think. Back on hard miles covered since this morning before light, and those to still be covered till their circle's done tonight. 18 miles or maybe more of dry sage and rock and crust, this water stop a blessing to cool off and cut the dust. Soft ripples radiating from his sorrel's sipping lips, distort Trio's reflection to the rhythm of its sips.
So
I just love the sound of a whole bunch of S's put together and string a bunch of P's together. Pony, Palomino, just whatever. It was just a fun poem to write.
When you're writing, does it just flow, or do you have to edit yourself? Well, tell us a little bit about how you put something together.
I wouldn't say it flows, because that would make it sound too easy. But sometimes it, cowboy poetry, cowboy poetry is any poetry the cowboy writes, but traditionally its traditional forms are rhymed poetry and some sort of a rhyme scheme that is repetitive or, there's something going on in terms of the meter, the pattern of accents, that's meter. And a rhyme scheme. That's what I tend to be more entertained by and what I write by. So with that said, what that means is that the line length, either by counting accented and unaccented syllables, that would be meter, is consistent. And once you establish that pattern and you go, well, that line that's going to rhyme with this other line is 10 accents or 10 syllables, then the next one has to be. So the editing process for me is this mathematical, keeping track of that. But I tend to, once I get going, you develop a rhythm. And so it sort of flows in terms of the story. You look back on it and you read it a bunch of times, and if there's a hiccup in it, if it's flowing and then it's got this little something's not right, I can usually figure that out, that it's, well, that's because I've got an unaccented syllable where it really should be an accented syllable, and I need to turn that mare into a gelding or something to get it right. So that's the editing process. And some poems, I've had a handful of poems that have flowed. I've sat down and written them, about 90% of them in one setting or a day. But I have poems that I started 6-8 years ago that may never get finished, because I just have to keep working at them.
Keep working at them. Another one from the book is also the title track from the album I held up a few moments ago, Language of the Land. Yeah. And that poem just speaks to me on so many different kinds of levels. Would you... Before we take our next break, would you also share that one with us?
Yeah, Language of the Land. Mm-hmm. And I would only just say that the setting here, as we've saddled in the dark and ridden out, and now just as the sun is starting to come up, just starting to show, we're on the edge of a canyon looking down. That's the setting of this poem. there's not a lot that's spoken as we sit upon our mounts, the cow boss checking tallies, adding up the remnant counts. He's mighty long on wisdom, but he's pretty short on words when lining out the circles when we're gathering up the herds. Oh, they're out there, boys. Go get them. You know what to do. And of course, he's right, and he should know. He handpicked all the crew. He knows there'll be no slack and that we'll more than earn our pay. And since that's about all that matters, he's not got much more to say. So with just some simple pointing and some nods among the boys, we head in all directions, taking in the morning noise. And you'd think without us talking, there'd be nothing much to hear. But actually, in the silence, there's a lot to hit your ear. Like birds awake and singing, cicadas flicking wings, aspen trees are quaking, and there's bubbling in the springs. Muffled hooves on dewdrop grass, the snap of sun-parched brush, thermals blowing up steep slopes, and Bob White's whistles before they flush. And then the sound we've come for, faint, distant from below. Bawling calves and mamas tell us just where we should go. The silence gives direction, sometimes better than what's planned. And so we leave the talking to the language of the land.
Mm. Very good.
Did you hear that word circle early on in the poem?
I did.
Jim has been having a really fun time reading and sort of learning some of the terms that we all know circle, but we don't necessarily know how circle and cowboy meet. Can you take a moment to just tell us about circle, and then we'll take another quick break.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
And we're back with our guest, Tom Swearingen. Tom, you might not have heard me right before we went to break. We were asking about a circle, and what does circle mean in the cowboy language?
Yeah, well, I didn't hear you because I don't know on which end, but my computer sort of froze there for a second. A circle, well, it's generally the collection of cattle. My experience with circles are remnant cows. You know, cows have been out and their calves have been out grazing during the summer. We get into the fall, it's time to get them down into the home ranch and process and whatever. And so these cattle are up on the rangeland, the lease land, or in this case, big pieces of property, big, you know, 25 miles, three canyon, four canyons wide. And there's cattle out there somewhere, right? They're down in little hidey holes and up on the top of ridges, and they're down in the creek bottoms and whatever. And so a circle would be, you know, you got three or four or six guys or women or whatever. And, you know, you go out and the cow boss has usually got some idea of where they were last seen or where they should be or where they were last left. They were last left where there was water. They should still be there. Let's go make a big circle and collect all of them into a line and get them headed in the right direction. So that's the reference to the circle.
Mm-hmm. To the circle.
You know, I think the more experienced fellows and gals would be on the outer circle. And less experience be on the inside. Is that right?
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, I'm not an expert. I don't have that much experience in that, but that would make sense. The people that are on the outside circle have a whole lot more ground to cover, you know, and they're typically, you know, you might trot for 10 miles or 15 miles until you get to where you need to be. And trying to get out around, you know, you're covering a lot of ground fast. And so, and the people on the inside are slow, you know, they're just kind of waiting to hopefully have these cattle directed down to where they are mm-hmm. and keep them moving. But those outside circle riders, yeah, that's you're moving. I mean, yeah, you've got a lot of ground to cover and you're really hunting. You're looking for, you got to go into places where, you know, you think they might be and hope they're there. And if they're not, then you got to head up to go back up to the top of the ridge, whatever.
Yeah. I think you've been working on some new poems, perhaps.
Yeah.
Do you have something you'd like to share with us tonight?
Something new? Yeah, I could do it. I'm always working on new stuff. I do have one that is ready for public consumption, I think. And, you know, I would only, the slight backstory on this is that, you know, like when you're out, and we're out on our horses a lot, and we've been in places, not that you can't see this from the highway, from, you know, back roads driving, but we've been horseback in the middle of nowhere, you know, no civilization to speak of anywhere close, and come across the remnants of old barns and houses, you know, where there was somebody living there. Yeah. And I love seeing up on a hillside, you know, an old barn. You can picture it, right? It's the roof line is sort of broken down and it's kind of a little tilting and there's more sunlight coming through it than solid boards and whatever. And I've been in and around some of those places. And again, just thinking about, I was in one of those situations and the first line of this poem sort of came to me and the rest of it just kind of filled in. But I've wandered into wonderful, this weathered barn that barely stands, decades since last occupied, except by dust light strands. Mm-hmm. There's history in the rafters and old stories behind each nail. What I would give to hear one time the intimate detail of those who called this place a home, the generations passing through, what brought them here, what lives they lived, sort fables from the true. Did they build so those who followed were better off than when they came, or were their aims simply selfish, concerned with their own fame? Were children raised to flourish, inspired to follow their own muse, or hindered, bound to flounder, held back by narrow views? Did generations follow forefather footsteps set in stone, or were they free to forge new paths for places then unknown? For me, I choose to think the best of those folks who live this land. How I hope their departure not hastily unplanned. Their prospects for something better had them set out for their dreams and leave behind this tangle of tilting walls and beams. The truth, of course, long hidden deep in dust and splitting grain. Floor sagging from the elements and gravitation strain. There's no one here to tell the tale, and I can't read between the lines of timbers bent and weary as this old barn declines. So it's my imagination that gets to fill in the detail of the history in the rafters and old stories behind each nail.
Mm. Oh, Tom, that's
good.
That's fabulous. Like that's fabulous.
Thank you.
How does he remember all this?
I don't know. Because he created it. Do you have a favorite place to write when you sit down to write?
I'm at it right now. Yeah. I mean, at my desk, I write, typically, well, I keep a little notebook, when I travel, my memory is not all that great. Sometimes I can, you know, like I wandered into wonderful, this weathered barn. I remember that, you know, but there are times when I'm out and about, a lot of ideas come to me horseback. I don't necessarily write them down. Sometimes I'll call myself, leave a voicemail idea that I don't remember. But the actual writing, I use a keyboard. I use a computer. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm most fluent, and I can it's easier for me to get it down. I can shift it around and edit. And that's where I'm most comfortable writing. It's where I spend most of my time.
There was a poem, Jim, that really you really enjoyed from the book. Do you want to ask him about What was it? A winter pleasure? Winter.
Well, there's several, but
well,
you know,
we got
to talking about this one today. Winter pleasure ride.
Yeah, that's a long one. I mean, I don't know if you got time.
No, we won't be. But we were curious if it was based on a true, because it's a really fabulous.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's an absolutely true story. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I talk about two pretty girls beside me, my wife and her sorrel mare. Yeah, you know, Carla.
We thought that
you know,
was
she's
it.
Pretty. Yeah, no, that's absolutely a true story. We got. Yep, that storm that came about us froze our horses in the track. And that is an absolute true story.
Absolute true story. So it starts as a lovely day and it ends with, well, you go through, you have to read, you just will have to get the book and to be able to read the whole poem. Yeah. Do you get, when you did mention that you might have a poem that's even, you know, 8 years old that you may revisit, how do you get around a creative block if you do?
You know, I don't honestly think of it as a creative block.
Okay.
I sometimes just think of them as of potential poems, stories that I am working on. You know, I don't have a deadline. It's rare that I have a specific, I used to have, every once in a while I have an editor, you know, maybe that wants a poem for a particular purpose and I might have a magazine deadline or something, but it's very freeing. I mean, I just, if a poem has some potential, I'll work on it. I'll revisit some things. And sometimes I'll just see it through fresh eyes and go, you know, that was a good story. I will finish that or figure out how to make it more entertaining. Uh-huh. And maybe some of them, you know, I revisit and I just kind of go, you know, this poem doesn't really have any reason to exist anymore. or, you know, I mean, it's like, nobody's going to miss it if it doesn't happen. I don't erase them. I don't throw them away, but I just, you know, and I will sometimes get, and I won't call it a writer's block, but because I'm writing rhymed poetry, I'll sometimes get to a point where I just can't figure out a rhyme makes sense or that isn't predictable. I use a rhyming dictionary. I use an online rhyming dictionary. I use one on my computer.
That'll
get me over the hump. You know, it'll feed me a potential rhyme that I wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah.
And other times I'll get to a point where there's nothing that is going to rhyme that speaks to me. Well, I mean, they're rhymes, but I mean, you don't just want to write a horse as a horse, of course, of course. I mean, you don't want to just write doggerel. And so sometimes that'll cause me to just rethink the whole line. It's like, well, rather than trying to rhyme circle or whatever, I'll put that in the middle. That'll bring me to a different end if that's the line I'm rhyming.
Right.
And so again, it's just, the pieces fit together.
I think we have maybe time for one more recitation, and I would love it if you would do Roping Mama's Llama.
Yeah. I would tell people that have seen me rope, people that have seen me rope, and I can throw a loop. I know I could throw a hula hand. I could throw different shots depending on the circumstances. But people who know my roping know that my very best roping takes place in my imagination, which is where this takes place. I have gone and roped a llama way high up on its neck. So there's 18 inch of flex and muscle giving me pure heck. The thing is spitting, kicking, sure footed, feet are flying, making me wish I'd instead looped a rabid mountain lion. Yeah, I have gone and roped a llama, hula hand to camelid. Not by far the brightest thing I could say I ever did. Because when this tale gets passed on, and you know darn well it will, it'll be all about my target, not about my roping skill. Sidebar. Why when spelling llama are there two and not one L? One is silent, so not needed. Just the same as the word hell, lo, I'm in big trouble. Despite my prayers and hope, and when my wife finds out her yarn supply is what I've been out roping. roping mama's llama, that'll put her in a stew. Something I should have thought about before my catch twine flew. She'll question if I've got a brain, make for certain I regret lofting that one swing flip shot at the critter she calls a pet. She'll make a list of honeydews, ask big favors for amends. How long she keeps demanding them, well, I guess that all depends on if I can act real humble and show some true remorse. And I don't suppose it hurt none if I bought her a new horse.
Probably not.
Oh, Tom, tell our audience where they can find you, where you're performing next, where they can get the book, your albums. Yeah. Where do they go?
Yeah, well, the website is OregonCowboyPoet.com. OregonCowboyPoet.com. If you know how to spell my name, you can find me easy enough by Googling Tom Swearingen, poet. Tom Swearingen is Cowboy Poet is also my Facebook page and Instagram, but Oregon Cowboy Poet is my website, as my schedule. My next performances are in the Portland area. I'm doing a show in Portland at Artichoke Music, which is a great listening music venue in Portland, a week from tonight. And then 2 days later, I'm at the Skamania Lodge in Washington, which is a gorgeous destination lodge in the Columbia Gorge. They're doing a Western theme, Western whiskey dinner.
It sounds so good.
And I'm entertaining at that. Then a week later, I'm going to be on the other side of the river in Oregon, in the Dalles, Oregon, with a bunch of Western Music Association friends. We're going to do a matinee and an evening concert at the Dalles Civic Auditorium. And then I do a couple of other little things around. But then the next big thing is Albuquerque for the International Western Music Association Awards. I'm nominated again, thankfully, for Poet of the Year, and we'll get on stage there a couple of times. But mostly just really looking forward to seeing you and Jim and friends in Albuquerque.
And you're doing a fun collaborative event, Team Penning, at the conference with Joni Harms. Tell us just a moment.
Yeah,
about,
people know. Yeah, it's a clever name. Team Penning in the horse world is, in cattle world, is penning cattle in a team event. But this is a songwriting competition. There's a bunch of us that are teamed up, a songwriter and a poet, that have been given a theme. The theme this year is Landscapes of the West. And so Joni Harms, Hall of Fame singer-songwriter from down the street, and I are collaborating on an entry for that. And that, for me, I'm telling you, Joni Harms is a songwriter.
Oh,
and I, and so to be able to write with somebody who has made a living, you know, writing songs is a real treat for me.
And she's just delightful. She's just delightful. So that's so fun. We thank you for joining us tonight, Tom. We're going to kind of wrap up the show.
I can't tell if you're talking to me because you're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Oh, She's terrific. We're going to thank you for being with us tonight, and we're going to take just a moment to kind of wrap up the show. I'm looking at the time, and we're good. We have a couple moments here. So if you're listening tonight at latalkradio.com, thank you so much. If you caught us on LA Talk Radio's Facebook page, thank you so much. And these audio and video podcast links will be available shortly after the fact. And we want to thank Sam Hassan, of course, Alex Dormont and the Hot Texas Swing Band, who opened and closed the show with their song Hot Texas. Next week, we will have a nonfiction award-winning author with us. Deanne Stillman will be with us, and we'll be talking about her book, Blood Brothers, the story of the strange friendship between Buffalo Bill, or Sitting Bull, and Buffalo Bill. And she'll be with us next week. Do you have a closing quote for writers?
We do have a quote here. And this was shared by one of our upcoming guests, David Kettlehake. And this quote is from the author, James Thurber, which is, "Don't get it right. Just get it written."
So there's your instruction, writers, for this next week. On behalf of Jim and me and the Bells, we really thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, until we meet again next week, it's always a great day out west.
You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell only.